Hey, folks, welcome back to the Catholic Coaching Podcast. We're continuing on with our series on exploring those points of awareness and the unique battle. Today, we're talking about wounds.
Yep. Aaron. Yeah, I'm excited to dive into this because the enemy tells us some lies that keeps us from even entering into this journey, this walk with the Lord and discovering our wounds and bringing them to Him and really coming closer into relationship with Him. And so I am looking forward to this podcast. I think this is like so relevant. I've been having a lot of discussions on this lately, and we're excited to share with you what we have uncovered.
Yeah, we draw a lot, and like special shout out here to the Restore the Glory podcast with Dr. Bob Schutz and Dr. Jay Kim, because they really did lay a groundwork. We reference it quite a bit throughout the podcast here. But folks, if you have any sort of reluctance to kind of even growing aware of your wounds, I think this is going to be a very healing experience for you. Hey, folks, welcome to the Catholic Coaching Podcast. My name is Matt.
And I am Aaron.
We are the Ingolds, the founders of Metanoia Catholic, where we aim to make mindset coaching authentically Catholic and practical.
We just love to take all of these tools and techniques and share them with you on this podcast. We also train and coach other Catholic coaches.
Come on into the podcast. We're back.
Hello, friends. How are we?
We're good. We're going to continue on with our podcast series where we're exploring those five points of awareness on our unique battle. We talked about beliefs and triggers already. We're diving into our next point of awareness, which is wounds. We're going to be drawing heavily from the work of Dr. Bob Schutz over at the JP2 Healing Institute. And even the Restore the Glory podcast will be referencing quite a bit. They've done a lot of work on this, and I think they're even like the, you know, kind of the source.
Yeah.
A really great information source on this.
Yeah, and also Father Ripperger really talks about this in the spiritual warfare context too, which is really what we're kind of talking about today. But first, let's talk about what a wound is. A wound is analogous to a physical wound, so like a psychological, an inner wound. That's what we're talking about here today, just to be clear. We're not talking about physical wounds like we would just be like, go clean it with hydrogen peroxide and put a band-aid on it. I don't know.
Get a shot.
Certainly not my area of expertise.
Tetanus booster.
But really what we're talking about are emotional wounds, psychological wounds, and even spiritual wounds. And so they are analogous to, you know, physical wounds in that it's any break in the skin or an organ caused by violence or surgical incision. Wounds can be inflicted by ourselves.
We can sin.
We can inflict our wounds onto ourselves, right? Sin is the most is the way to do that. And
Thoughts that we choose, lies that we choose.
Yeah. And then also, outside agents can inflict wounds on us. You know, and wounds, here's another thing too. Wounds are subjective. I mean, we could objectively stand back and say, objectively, that is harmful to the dignity of the person. But in the recipient is, there's a subjective experience. So something that may wound one person may not wound as much or degree another person.
Yeah. And so you may be thinking at this point, why, you guys aren't counselors, you're not therapists, why are you talking about these things? Well, I can tell you this, as a coach, what often comes up, or what we're often dealing with, are what are the things getting in the way of a person accomplishing a goal that they've, you know, set out to journey with us towards in that coaching relationship. And so sometimes things will come up, and typically things do, and that doesn't mean that they necessarily have to be a place where you park and you have to enter into a therapeutic relationship. Not all wounds need to have that level of care. Some of them do. And sometimes there are pauses in our relationships with our clients where they really need to have that, you know, that whatever it is that they're dealing with best referenced in a different context, a different helps relationship.
Yeah.
But these things do come up. And so big thing, we got to help people to identify some of these things, name them and claim them so they can tame them and then continue to move forward with their with whatever they're pursuing here. So wounds, like Aaron was saying, they can be events that are tragic and traumatic, but they don't even have to be huge things. It's anywhere, and I love where Dr. Bob goes with this, it's anywhere where we don't experience love. I mean, it doesn't have to be something that happens to us. It could be something that didn't happen, right? He talks about the different, the A wounds and the B wounds. The B wounds being the type B where something bad happens. Mm-hmm. And the type A wounds are when something doesn't necessarily happen that should have been. There's an absence of something, an absence of love that's there. Okay. So sin is also a type of wound.
Yeah.
It wounds other people, but it certainly wounds us as well. Whenever we sin, we inflict a wound on ourselves. And these wounds are often at the source of our dysfunction, okay? Mm-hmm. And so as a coach, we're helping somebody to function better, to move away from the dysfunction. And if we really want to do that on a permanent basis, we have to go to the source of it. And so helping people to name this point of awareness, this wound, is a really big step to taming it and bringing the Lord in ultimately to find a place of healing where he alone is the one that can redeem it. If we leave these things unaddressed, it's going to continue to be a shackle that is going to prevent you from really moving forward, and it's going to erode your experience pursuing a goal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay.
It also severely compromises your ability to engage in the battle. Engage in the battle successfully, I think. When you have no idea what your wounds are, but also you're operating out of them kind of unconsciously.
Yes. I mean, when I started to first explore wounds, like in a very intentional way, so when I got out of the military and I participated in a retreat through the Kingsmen called the Samson Healing Retreat. I did a number of these retreats. I was part of running these retreats. And it was really an experiential way for somebody to start to kind of enter into their pain, their wounds, but also do it with Jesus, right? And so when that person's ready to be united with the Lord in that place, this was an amazing retreat. And you start to experience that on a very somatic level. And I remember having this question in the back of my head as I was reflecting once on the wounds of Christ, the risen Christ, and asking this question, why, O Lord, why do you still bear your wounds in your redeemed and risen body? Mm-hmm. And I share this here, folks, because this insight I think is helpful for those people that may be a little bit apprehensive to even consider like their wounds and want to just kind of leave it in the past. And why dig those things up? We'll get into more of that in the podcast here. Mm-hmm. But I remember looking upon this painting by the artist Caravaggio, and it is called Incredulity of St. Thomas, right? So incongruently, doubting Thomas, right? And it's this moment captured in this painting of Thomas putting his hand into the side of Christ, and his eyes are wide open, and Jesus has his hand, Thomas's hand, and he's pulling it into his wound, and you can see even Christ's face wincing slightly. It doesn't necessarily look like it's a comfortable thing that's going on, but we see suddenly this disbelief coming to believe, this incredulity melting away to credulity, to like my Lord and my God. It takes a person, our wounds redeemed, folks, and only Christ can redeem these things. Our wounds redeemed become a source of evangelization, a source of healing for other people to encounter Christ, because they become a dwelling place of Christ.
Yes.
But if we hide them, we can never invite the Lord in. So must become aware of these things.
Yeah. And so the enemy kind of keeps us away from our wounds. Mm-hmm. Kind of like don't become aware of these, you know, like let's not go there because of what you were just saying. Mm-hmm. On the other side of it,
there's
redemption and there's healing and there's relationship with the Lord. Ultimately, which is what they don't want us to do. And so really what we're going to be talking about today are three common lies that kind of keep us from even presenting our wounds to the Lord and starting on that journey with him.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to get started?
Let's do it, babe.
All right. Let's see. The first, and of course, we know that the enemy, he has his strategies, and he always has like some strategy of it's a lie.
One play in the playbook, lies.
Yeah. Yep, lies. The father of lies. So one of the lies about even just kind of addressing our wounds or coming into that, I don't know, awareness. Understanding of them.
Just becoming aware of them, yeah.
Is dealing with my wounds takes too much emotional energy. That's totally me, by the way. I've completely had this one. I was like,
too much.
Ain't nobody got time for that. you know? Yeah. And it just like, it feels draining. There's other ways you can think that, like, oh, Lord, I've just been working on this so long in my whole life. And, you know, I have to dig up my wounds. I have to, like, I don't want to drudge up the past. You know, there's other ways to kind of, like, avoid it in this way.
Yeah, I think that's a big presumption. It's just, like, it seems indulgent to just be digging for wounds. And I can see here, folks, where there might be a season for this. Honestly, if you're in that season, I think you're in a place of really a therapeutic relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll let the therapist speak to that. But there's even a reluctance in me to just be like even going down this path of just like wound searching, because wound searching, I think, can easily turn into a witch hunt.
Yeah.
Right? Where you're just searching for something. And there's even been some cases where people have searched and there wasn't really something there. And so they ended up inventing something that was there. Mm-hmm. Okay. This isn't always the case, right? There could be something that's there, but that's not certainly helpful for somebody. We want, you know, mental health is when we're coming into conformity with reality, right?
I feel like that's kind of a hidden like way of being like, I have to control this.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah. Like I gotta know all of the things. And like, so often the Lord heals us of things that we don't even know he's healing us, you know, and because it would actually cause greater harm to the relationship.
Yes.
If we knew these things. And so like, to kind of like, to speak to the wound digging and the wound hunting, it's kind of like very much a surrender moment, being like, Lord, heal whatever wounds you need to heal of me today. And like, I don't even need to know what they are.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's like one thing.
Not needing to know it. I think that's a really important thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't have to get to the source of this. I remember there's something I was struggling with, and you know, Aaron, there was times where you said, you know, I wish you would step up and defend me more in our marriage. And you kind of had some things, and it was something where I was just like, why do I not do this? Why do I have this reluctance to just kind of like take almost a passive approach where maybe I should be more engaging? And I remember like going back and thinking, like, as I was kind of digging, it must be something in my past for this. Mm-hmm. And I remembered, you know, when I used to play hockey and my dad saying, Matt, if you ever get into a fight on the ice, it'll be the last time you step on the ice. And I remember being like, that's the source of it. My father just emasculated me and took away my ability to stand up and defend myself. And ever since then, I've been searching out for, like, you know, I've been pacified. And I remember having kind of that mindset and even like bringing it up to my dad and my dad being like, so wait, you're putting that on me? And it was kind of this realization where I was just like, I'm kind of abdicating my responsibility here in this wound search, where even if I do find the source, there's this belief that this person needs to somehow liberate me from this.
You're like
this,
entitled to, yeah.
Right. Like it's not something that's, I'm still in, it still put me in a very powerless place where I couldn't really go forward. And so that's where I think this, we need to be weary of just, hey, I'm going to go search for the wound. And there's, again, I'm not a therapist. There are ways I imagine, and I've never been to therapy personally. There are ways I imagine where people can gently explore these things in that type of relationship that can be very helpful. Very helpful.
Yeah. I've been to therapy and it can be very helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that does happen. But I think even just bringing it back to coaching and bringing it back to even this thought, it's going to take too much emotional energy. Because I think we're talking about two different thoughts here. I think one thought is like, I got to go dig. That's one. I got to go find
which
it.
Which is draining for me personally.
Totally.
That thought is like, ugh.
But then there's this other thought where it's like, it's going to take too much emotional energy.
Okay.
And I would like to say, and this is what I always like to say to any belief that feels very true, I always like to say, how could I be wrong about this?
Okay.
How might I be wrong about this? Like, what is also that implying? Like, is it that I have to do all the work on my own? Am I by myself in this? Because it's funny. I was talking to a friend about this a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, an image that came to mind is when my daughter Avila, when she gets cut, and it's like the teeniest little cut, like it's like a millimeter and it's like not even bleeding, you know, she like loses her mind.
Yeah. The other day we investigated this a little bit, and she was just like, and I was just like, it looks like it's not even a cut. She's like, it's a cut. Don't touch it. And I was like, will you just wipe it off? And she just wiped off her arm, and it was a booger that was on her arm. And I was just like, wow, we are being wounded by our own boogers here in this family. It's but like, wow, you can make a you could, it could, it might be a booger, folks. It
but doesn't. All of that is emotionally draining. Like that situation, like the amount of emotional drain of just being like, oh, I can't look at it. I can't.
Yeah.
Or I can't bring it to the Lord. Like I think of like kids who come and you know, the parent, and they want to show the wound to the parent, and the parent's like, let me see. And then they're like, pull away. No.
Oh, that was last night. Even when kind of she has that molluscum, yes, you know, on her side. She's like, don't touch it. I was like, I'm your father. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to see this.
They pull it away. They pull it away. And you're like, I can help you. And I think that is like probably what the Lord thinks when we're like, it's too much emotional energy. It's like, no, you are actually creating more emotional energy around it by resisting, just presenting it to the Lord as it is.
Yes.
You don't have to know anything more about it. You don't have to do anything. It's like, it's actually like this moment of, I don't know, like being on the surgical table and just being like, okay, there's nothing I can do. I'm not going to wake up and start doing surgery on myself.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah.
You bring up something, Aaron, I think is really cutting to the core of this. And it's this thought that I need to figure this out by myself. I'm alone and I got to figure it out by myself and I got to get it perfectly.
Yeah.
And folks, we are wounded and broken in relationships, but by God's design, we're also healed and redeemed in relationships. And I think even underneath this, you know, hey, this is going to be too exhausting, is this thought that I have to do all the work by myself.
Amen.
And there's not going to be anybody there to help me.
Yeah.
And folks, if you're starting to look at wounds, and perhaps wounds that are sources of your own sin that are there, and you don't have a merciful presence with you, either in, you know, doing this with the Lord or doing this with, you know, a trusted coach or a trusted friend or a trusted therapist, it can be further isolating. It can be easy, very easy to start building evidence that this is too exhausting, because guys, it is exhausting when we're doing it by ourselves, because we're not meant to do it by ourselves. Yeah. And that exhaustion doesn't mean that you're going down the wrong path. It means you're going down that path by yourself, and you're not meant to.
Well, I want to say, like, you are doing it wrong. You're going down the, I mean, I wouldn't even say you're going down the wrong path.
Yes.
Maybe you're close to it, the path, but like you said, you're doing it in isolation, so you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I want to reframe that association.
I've had so many people say to me, I've done so much work on this. And I say to them, I go, how has that worked for you? Like, are you more exhausted now? And so that tells me that you're doing it by yourself.
Yeah.
So when all is said and done, don't do it by yourself, please. The Lord is waiting for you to bring these things to him. He's not afraid of them.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of your wounds.
Yeah. So what I like, the way that I like as a coach to kind of address wounds is not to go looking for them, but just move towards the goal. And guess what? They come up.
They'll come up.
I look at it as like, in military terms, a movement to contact. Movement to contact is like, hey, we're just moving towards an objective.
Yeah.
And we know that as we get closer to that objective, the enemy that does not want us to reach that objective is going to start to reveal himself.
Yes.
And it's going to come out in these triggers, which are now trailheads and things. And address those things as they come. Mm-hmm. And God allows those things to come up as we're moving forward. It doesn't mean that something wrong is happening. It means that the goal work that we take people through as coaches is actually doing the great work, the real work. Because the goal is not the goal. It's the relationship that you form with the Lord in pursuit of that goal.
Yeah, I would also like to recommend just to think like, all right, if you do have this thought, this is emotionally draining or this is emotionally exhausting, to ask yourself, how could the opposite be true? In fact, like even from my own story, my own life, just recently this happened. I've had a lot of wounds around body image, food stuff, you know,
Like coming up afresh?
Not even coming up. It's, I've always dealt with it, but what I noticed, even just this past weekend, I noticed I was just doing it so much by myself, and I was believing a lie that was really keeping me in this wound of, I think, confusion and powerlessness and hopelessness. And I was like, Lord, show me the truth. I am done with doing this. I noticed I was holding back from the Lord. I was going, I don't trust you. There was something about that I just didn't trust him. And I dove a little bit deeper in my in my journaling. And it was so funny because it was like such a quick turnaround. As soon as I was like, oh, the reason why I didn't trust you was actually because of something I was doing, not you. Like, it was me, not you. But just taking that, and then it turned around. And here's the most amazing thing. Once it started to turn around, I actually returned back to a way of eating that has actually been very freeing and bringing the Lord into it and simple. And it's been easy.
Easy.
It's actually been opposite of exhausting. It's been easy. And like all of that happened because I identified a lie. And then I was like, oh, I'm not going to actually believe that lie anymore. Like, I have evidence to support the opposite of this lie. I have the evidence to support the truth over here. And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to bring you into this moment, Lord. And what I had found was I was doing it by myself again. And that's why I was so stressed and exhausted, you know, and actually perpetuating wounds that the Lord had kind of started to heal already in my life. And then I just like switched my mindset. I was like, no, I got to do this thing over here and control this over here. And so it was really interesting. The repentance, the looking at the lies, actually doing the work around it, the reason work around it, bringing the Lord back into the moment. It was like opposite of exhausting.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that, in the words of Velvet and Jones. Okay. Obscure Eddie Murphy character from Saturday Night Live. Velvet cool. Jones. All right. Let's move on to our next strategy, the enemy here. Okay. Guess what? It's another lie. And I was very confirmed with this one because we had added this in. Then I re-listened to some of Dr. Bob and Jake Kim's podcast. And this one came up specifically. And folks, I've heard it so many times, especially talking with different combat veterans that have all kinds of judgments because maybe they didn't actually have a literal bullet wound. And so compared to a buddy here, and so they start getting this comparison game. And here's a lie. Nothing really tragic has ever happened to me. At least not as bad as what's happened to other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is that harmful? Like where would that lie lead somebody?
Well, it's the lie is there because we neglect the areas of pain and woundedness that have happened in the ordinary course of events from living in a fallen world. Okay. Like, and I love how, and I'm going to just pull from directly from one of the things that Jake Kim said on this podcast. It was Anatomy of the Wound Part 2. If you want to go check that one out and Restore the Glory podcast. But he said, we were not meant to live in a fallen world. And so just being in a fallen world means that we're going to be living in a place that doesn't love us in the way that we are meant to be loved. And when we're not loved in the way that God created us to be loved, which is loved with a divine love, we are going to experience some sort of pain, some woundedness in that. And again, this isn't so that we throw the heaviness of wound on things, but we just acknowledge it for what it is. And acknowledge the reality that this stuff is painful. And because if we don't, and we just say, well, it's not as painful as this guy's over here, then we don't acknowledge the pain that we have, and we don't acknowledge what it's doing in our life, and it starts to fester, and we don't invite the Lord in, and so we're not actually we're never actually loved in that place. And guess what? Like we've created those, we've created the distance ourselves. With the denial of where we've actually been hurt and denial of our own experience. And guys, that is just another wound on top of the wound of, you know, maybe it was somebody else that said something to you and it was like, that was kind of where it was initiated. But then you stop seeing your own pain and that becomes a double whammy because now you're not being seen by that person or yourself. And you're not allowing the Lord to see it either.
And I want to speak to this because I think coaches, I mean, at least our coaches that we train, I think we do this well. We actually allow people to feel their feelings because we know that that's really like, it's just very wounding. Yeah. And I think the coaching world can get a bad rap from this. And maybe rightly so. I don't know. I think there is like a lot of like positive thinking. Don't think about that, you know, whatever. But there is something that is so ordered about being like, hey, that emotion, that hurt that you feel is appropriate and it's okay. Like just lean into, like allow to yourself to be in it because you are continuing to wound yourself through abandoning or rejecting that part of you.
Yes.
You're continuing to wound yourself by not seeing that part.
Yes. And it could be something where even you say you were siblings, you get brothers and sisters and your parents get divorced. All right. That's a wounding experience, but each one of those siblings is likely going to deal with that and experience that on a different level. And so it may look like, hey, so-and-so's got it all together, but they're just dealing with it on a different way. Cause they're a different person. The thing a great analogy that I found recently, Aaron, you and I are going through this detox right now.
Yeah.
And, there is some stuff that we're finding in our bodies that we didn't know was there until we started to actually, you know, go through this work that of pulling these things out and moving towards health in a very intentional, focused way for a season. And one of the things that we learned about was these things called hidden infections. And one of the biggest sources of hidden infections is the most common surgery that most Americans get. We have to get it in the military, and it's the removal of your wisdom teeth. That's a surgery that's taking place. And what happens with these hidden infections is that there can develop in that cavity of that wound when they pulled the wisdom teeth out, there can develop an infection. And for some reason, based on where it's at in your body, your immune system actually can't get to it, but it still receives the signals that something is wrong, but it can't actually get to that. There needs to be a procedure that you need to like go through this cone beam scan to see if there's an infection that's taking place. And then there's a way to actually remove that infection of cleaning those things out. That's another surgery that's there. And so there are things that may be going on in us that we don't necessarily notice until we actually until we start moving forward and we start getting curious about, hey, why do I constantly have allergies over here? We start looking at the symptoms we're experiencing and then getting curious about them and having a good guide that can say, well, it could be coming from this, this, or this.
And even like, so that's a great analogy here because even being like, okay, so this seems relatively small, like a small surgery. Nobody would like even
car accident
look at that
amputation.
And be, yeah, right. Nobody even would look at that and be like, that's a surgery. Like I was like, oh, I didn't even, yeah, that's right. It was a surgery. So it's kind of small from an outside, you know, objectively speaking, you could say it's small comparatively to other surgeries.
Yeah.
But it can like entail a tiny little infection. And if that infection isn't really addressed or even brought to light, because you're comparing it to somebody else who has had like amputation, it's still creating havoc and destruction in your life.
Yes.
And so you're kind of like, okay, well, that can grow into a huge thing. I knew somebody who passed away. They had this it was like a small cut on their foot that turned into gangrene and they died from it.
Yeah.
I mean, you think these things can get infected, big or small.
Yes. On a spiritual level, folks, the analogy still stands. Like, there are things that we don't necessarily look at as deeply traumatic or deeply painful or even worthy of our focus. And if the Lord is allowing that to come up, then he wants it dealt with. He's not doing it to just trigger you so you can feel like it's not just the enemy the enemy is attacking. The enemy is the one that exacerbates these triggers. And guess what? The Lord allows it. The Lord allows every enemy attack that's there because he further humiliates the enemy. This is Father Chad Ripperger. I love this. He further humiliates the enemy by causing him to actually be a source of our salvation. So not a source of that, but like actually source of our sanctification. Thank you. Where he exacerbates the wound. It's triggered. Now we know something's there. So the Lord wants something dealt with. We bring it to the Lord. The Lord heals it, and the enemy's further humiliated. Mm. I mean, like, but he had to participate even her own sanctification in that case.
Yeah.
So just being aware, folks.
But I do want to say something too.
Go ahead, please.
Our sanctification is not something that we passively receive. Like,
yeah.
We have to actually be like, no, I am willing to look at this, mm-hmm. to actually bring this to the Lord. Not indulge in it, not sit in it forever, but like, I want to bring this to the Lord because he's bringing it up for a reason. Mm-hmm. And then also to have that hope that he will take care of it. And I know that's a lot easier said than done, but a way that you could have that hope or develop or kind of build that hope is to go to other areas in your life where he has healed you. Mm-hmm. Whenever I have a hard time, like, growing in temperance, I think, not in temperance, but in the actual
virtue. We do plenty of that, but anyways.
I think about, I actually, like, quit smoking, which is, I mean, I guess it's been, like, spoken about, and it's like it's one of the hardest addictions to quit. Mm-hmm. And I did it because the Lord, I kept bringing it to the Lord. I remember even praying about it while smoking cigarettes, like, Lord, what am I really seeking right now? Mm-hmm. like that was just a very, but I had like a legit addiction to nicotine. Mm-hmm. And there the Lord opened it up. I didn't have to, like, prepare myself to bring it to the Lord. Like I said, I was doing it while I was smoking. I was praying and being like, what's going on here? What's really going on here? Lord, heal me of this desire. Change my desire. Move my desire towards you. Like order this desire. But yeah, I think there's that we can compare, we can block ourselves, but then also, anyway, going back to find those areas of hope and then lean into those and be like, oh yeah, the Lord showed up there. Mm-hmm. There's no way I would have done that on my own. No way.
Yeah, I think they're not acknowledging the small ways that the Lord has helped you in your life, or even like the small pains that you have, as if they were just not important to God. I think that the thought behind it may be like, well, I don't want to be ungrateful for what the Lord has done in my life, because, like, I'm not dealing with this painful marriage situation over here, or with this kids with addiction situation over here. Like, I don't have that cross to bear. And so, like, I want to be grateful for the things that I have, and therefore I keep ignoring the things that I have because so-and-so is going through things that are harder. They're starving people in China, yada, yada, yada. And ultimately what that does, though, we think it's going to keep us in gratitude, but it doesn't, right? It doesn't, because we're not creating a space for the Lord to continue to pour into us.
We're not
done.
And
that's the source of the gratitude, right? That's the source. We're not done yet. Yeah, it's kind of a preview for the next lie that we're going to get into
here.
So let's do it. All right, so the counter strategy here is just, like, I think being very present with this and just being aware of when these things come up and not judging them, but choosing to be like, okay, Lord, this is my particular path to a deeper relationship with you. And it doesn't have to, it has nothing to do with anybody else.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Third enemy strategy here. All right. Third and final one for the podcast here. I've already dealt with this. I don't need to deal with this healing, this trauma, this pain, this wound anymore.
Or I should be over this.
Yes.
Or, like, basically at the core of that, wounds are bad and must be avoided at all costs.
Yes.
Like, that's, and once again, I kind of want to question even just that core thing first.
Let's do it.
Wounds are bad and need to be avoided at all costs. Well,
redeem Christ.
Can we avoid wounds? Like, we are, you know, born into a fallen world. Jesus was, like, really wounded on the cross, like, physically wounded, and he still had his wounds in his glorified body.
Yes.
And so, like, and even just what you were saying before, like what Father Ribberger was saying about like how the Lord uses even our wounds to humiliate the enemy. Like, there's something about, like, wounds that is good.
Yes. Yes.
And that's really what, first, before we get into this, I want to say this, and this is one of my favorite quotes. And I think it's St. Augustine that said it, but you can fact check me on it. And it's, in my wounds, Lord, I saw your glory and it dazzled me. In my wounds, Lord, the ones I was looking at, not avoiding, in my wounds, Lord, I saw your glory and it dazzled me.
My Lord and my God. Oh, yeah, St. Thomas.
Like there's just such a redemption of of the wounds in that space. Like, what if we could see glory in God's in our wounds?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lord, show me that. Show me your glory.
Preach it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but like that was even an insight looking at this painting of Caravaggio. It was wow, Lord, the enemy thought he was killing you. And now you're walking around with holes in you, which is such a testimony against death. It's such a testament of the triumph of life over death, because somebody that's walking around with five holes in them shouldn't be alive.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be alive. Yet they are. And it's just such a testimony of the triumph over death.
Yeah.
Which is why we don't like to look at our wounds here in the first place. I mean, I think of even Padre Pio with his stigmata and how much he would bleed from those things.
During Mass,
like to the point where he should have died from all the blood loss that was there. Yet the Lord in his glory was sustaining him. And what do we see with these stigmata, these saints that are stigmatics, right? We see the same life, participating in God's very divine life, happening even through our broken bodies. And it's, what does it do? It proclaims glory here, folks. Glory, glory, glory.
I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly. I've like read every book on Padre Pio, but I believe his wounds smelled like flowers, like lilies or something.
We had Father John Schnobrick. Remember before the night he was ordained?
Oh, yeah.
He had the gloves. Somebody brought the gloves, the relics of Padre Pio's gloves, and it said, as soon as the box opened up with the gloves, roses.
Oh, it was roses.
It was roses yes. that kind of poured out.
But also, they were sources, with Padre Pio, they were sources of healing for people. So, like, he would put the wounds on people who needed healing. Mm. And, like, that is seeing the glory of God in the wounds.
Yes.
Like, physical wounds. Now, can you imagine if that could be the case for our emotional, our psychological, and our spiritual wounds?
Yeah. And just allowing some space for this to be not an event, but a process. Like healing being a process over time. Even when you think about it on a physical wound level. It's like step one, stop the bleeding, right? We just, like, that's the first step in healing, is we just stop the bleeding. But then we got to go and we got to clean it out. And then maybe there's a surgery. I remember...
And keep it clean.
And keep it clean. Like, and observe it. I remember I'd go to visit Walter Reed Hospital or Bethesda to see some of my Marines, or just some of the Marines that had been, you know, casualties of the OEF, OIF war. And a lot of them were amputees, right? Mm-hmm. And some of them having to get multiple surgeries after losing their legs, you know, that in some cases, like maybe the skin graft didn't take, or they developed an infection, and then they had to drain the infection, and then they had to avoid some sort of sepsis. So there wasn't just one thing, one event that just healed them. In some cases, they needed to take more off, like amputate more and to save the life. And so this is a process.
Yeah.
And being open to that has been something I've learned to just kind of allow, because there was a season, even with my own healing from my trauma overseas and the pain overseas, where it's just like, hey, I've had my big cry. I'm done. I'm good. You know, Lord, we don't need to go back and revisit this. And still the Lord continues to kind of reveal in the gentlest ways here, folks.
Yes.
Like, invite into a deeper level of healing. And it actually happened recently, Aaron, where it was like so beautiful and we got to share it, where it was Patriotic Day at school for Avila. And so she was dressed in red, white, and blue. And I was like, hey, we gotta listen to Proud to Be an American by Lee Greenwood. And as we were playing that song in the morning, all of a sudden, like, I just started to feel something right here in my chest, and it kind of welled up. And it was like here it comes again. That was kind of the thought. And it was like, and I'm just going to allow it. And I just, in that song, which in some ways I look at it and it's like, this is a cheesy song, it brought up something in me, and it brought me back, and I was thinking about my Marines and the sacrifice that they'd made. And I remember just weeping over and coming into the room, and Aaron, you were so good. because like this continues to happen, folks. And I love how you just went, hey, you just stay here. I got Avila this morning. Mm-hmm. You didn't ask why or what's going on or like try to fix it. You just kind of allowed it. And it was this, it was really a beautiful just time of continued healing and an opportunity to continue to glorify what God is doing in me and not have to understand what he was doing here, folks. It was like, it was just resting in what was happening and being present and not being like, what's the new level that you're taking me to now, Lord? It's just allowing it. And it was so, it was liberating here, folks. And it was such an intimate time with the Lord. So intimate.
I would also say too, like, I'm sure it was healing and it was just like an appropriate, beautiful emotion that reverenced the lives of these men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a level of healing and like also the Lord bringing you into being like, oh, this is kind of what it means to be a human and to love and to like miss people. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I get those moments with my mom, when I think about my mom, I'll just be like, I'm sad because I loved her. And like, I'll never be mad about that. I'll never resist that.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think there's something really beautiful in experiencing our emotions and those areas that like those wounds, like we were saying, like how does God's glory of just even being a human coming through those wounds in that way? I also think just like any other wounds, there's the, you know, you want to stop the bleeding, right? And then you want to clean it out and keep it clean. And I really think that keeping it clean, especially with the emotional and the interior wounds that we experience, I think keeping it clean is a lot, like a lot of the journaling work, like the awareness, like coming to awareness and bringing that to the Lord continually, day by day by day, and then repenting and asking for the Lord's grace to like also renounce things and forgiving, doing like our journal pretty much day to day. It's not the only way to keep it clean, but I have found that being really useful and helpful. But then also like placing ointment on it, you know, actually like speeding up the healing in a way, not in a rushed way, but like when we place ointment on, when we bring scripture into like the Lord's word into those places, those lies that we were believing, when we bring his truth into it, that works as like ointment that can actually keep it clean and protect it.
Yeah. And you start to, in a fallen world, experience the true world that you were created to experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's redeeming. That's healing. It's becoming who we are, becoming who we were meant to be, and entering into a deeper relationship with the Lord.
Which is completely reliant on the Lord. That's like who we're meant to be.
Yeah. I love it. So I just, this whole mindset of I'm done, I don't have anything further to go, like this is it. Like that's kind of this, again, you see the Pelagianism, the self, perfection.
I want to speak to that too, because like as you were talking about that, kind of the layers, I always look at it like an onion, you know, there's just layers and layers and layers. Layers of crying, right? Pretty much with an onion. But also every time, especially if we've had a wound for a long time in our lives, every time it's come up in the past, we may have layered other beliefs and other lies on top of that. And so, yeah, it's probably not going to happen overnight. There's not going to be a release of that overnight. But I think there will be those pivotal moments. There will be those bigger moments. And then there will be the everyday moments, you know, where it just, you feel like you're like, ah, Lord, are we still dealing with this? And the Lord's like, yes, because you need me and you need to be reminded that you need me. And
yes, I'm still drawing you closer.
Come to me. Come to me.
Still so, drawing you closer.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So that's it. If you guys want to take this work deeper, if this was helpful for you, We have an academy, and this is open to anybody who wants to come and join. Mm-hmm. But we take all of this work and we take it deeper, and we include coaching and workshops and in certain areas that you would like help on. Really, moving forward, we're going to be focusing a lot on these pillars, mm-hmm. and these elements of awareness within these pillars. Those are some of my favorite calls that I do, the warfare calls.
Oh, yeah.
I just did one, or it was really battle call. That's what we call it.
You get to see liberation happen.
Yeah.
So it's awesome here, folks. I mean, and again, we talked about how by God's design, we're not meant to do this by ourselves. And so coming to the academy is coming into a community, and there's relationship in that community. There's people that are encouraging one another. I loved even today, I had thrown out like just a post in our academy, and somebody came in and were just like, this speaks to exactly something that was, I've been struggling with my own wounds. Mm. And like, this is so helpful. And I love being able to read other people's posts and be like, holy mackerel, like that just resonated so much in me. And so when you enter into a space where people are intentionally on this journey,
this growth
you
journey,
start yeah. to you start to gain, your wins become their wins and their wins become your wins. Like you share in the wins, and it really does build you up versus just going this on your own, folks. It's not even worth it.
It's lonely. Right?
It's lonely. It's not by God's design for how it's supposed to be. I love our community of growth-minded Catholics that are so compassionate, so merciful, and so diligent in their pursuit. And it's a community of seekers. Yeah. We like to say these people are seeking, and seeking you shall find. So we hope to find you in our academy. Join Academy Plus to really get a lot of the work that we've got here. But you can join it for free and just get some of the basic exposure to these three pillars.
Yep.
Cool. We'll see you in the academy.
Bye, guys. Hey, guys. If you liked what you learned here today, consider joining our academy, where you can take all these tools and learn how to apply them to your life.
Supremely practical stuff, and you get coached along the way in the process. You are not by yourself. We hope to see you in there.